May the 12th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiragespeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 105, Ayat 1. The Companions of the Elephant. Deuteronomy 32:15, Waxat. The Jashurun, Waxat, and kicked, that are waxat, that are grown thick, that are covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The human flesh must take on a new attribute, new description. The human flesh can't be flesh in the sense of greed and hunger for more flesh. For the flesh creatures are hungering for more flesh. He might eat grass like an elephant, the biggest mass of flesh walking the land. He doesn't prey on flesh. He eats grass. Is that right? But still, he's moved by flesh. The elephant is moved by the heat of flesh, and he is satisfied to just have this whole earth reduced to nothing but the mixing and the rumbling and the coming together of flesh. As long as he can lay with flesh and make some more flesh on the earth, that big old elephant that doesn't eat flesh is satisfied. We have the world that is ruled over by the so-called Christians that is all holy when it comes to not shedding blood. They are not prayers or the kind that go out and tear flesh and drink blood. They speak of peace and love, but they will amass of a big body of wealth, big like the elephant, and never manifest any human love and charity. They keep to themselves. Is that right? It has to be riots, demonstrations, and all kinds of forces from the people to pressure Christian society into responding to the need to be a little charitable. So we have an elephant society. So this is an elephant society. A society that never eats blood, you know, at least not out in the open. They profess to be grazers on the grass, appearing to the sheep, but they become big solid masses, huge, and leave the other part of the family lean and starved out. The book says a certain people wax sat, and because they wax sat, God saw fit to destroy them. So we know overweight is terrible for the individual as he continue to eat and just stuff himself. After a while, he gets out of order. People look at him and say, man, you used to look handsome. Get ugly to the society. So if we see that in our physical form, we can gorge ourselves and stuff ourselves too much and become unattractive and ugly in the physical form, then we should see that as a sign of divine. that we can gorge ourselves under the influence of greed. We can become so selfish, snatching everything for ourselves and not giving any of it out as we become fat and ugly in spirit, fat and unruly, moral nature, fat and ugly in human form. And the world looks at us and says, good God, I can't stand so-and-so. The Quran, Surah 105, Ayah 1-3, the companions of the elephant. Allah protected the Kaaba. In spite of the idols, as he protected the nation of Islam, it speaks of the companions of or order of the elephant. What does this represent? It represents imperialistic power, the great empire, Abraham, who from Africa went to the Holy House at Mecca and had become a pagan house. It had been ruined. After Abraham, it had become a pagan house. He was leading an army of well-armed men coming against that house. That was at the time heathen pagan. So when he came, God defended that house. If I would tell you, some of you crazy persons, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the honorable Elijah Muhammad and the nation of Islam, and someone might say, what is the imam talking about? Is he trying to dignify the nation of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the little Hashim, an old man with no army or anything. He didn't have the Quran. All he knew that his house is God's house. He didn't say this house is God's house. And I believe that God now is going to punish us for having all these idols there. He knew nothing of Al-Islam. The man thought that he was right. He said, this is God's house with all of its false idols, shameful rituals. I can't defend it. God will defend his own house. And didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, that he caused small birds to come with small sharp pebbles and drop them on the heads of animals, elephants, and turn them into chewed up stubble. God rescued that place because something was there that he had an interest in. He had a purpose for it being established, even though pagans were ranging supreme. God protected it. Alif refined social sentiment. The Quran, Surah 106, Ayat 1. Let's look at the word again. Le'ilaifi korisin ilaifi. Ilaifi comes from the word alafah, and alafah means to show the refined social sentiment. Alafah, one who is alaf, he shows the fine social sentiment. He's warm. He's considerate. He's understanding the social need. He's a good fellow, socially speaking, a sociable person, a good person in the social context of life. So that's Alifat. And we find that this is the very first letter of the alphabet, Alif. Alif is the first letter of the Arabic alphabet. Alif Mefus is Kabaj. Now there are other words that we connect with. This word, you see, these other words will help us to understand the meaning. Kabaj is called Mefus, Mefus Kabaj. And Mefus is called that. Why? Because it hugs every new member, hugs the other. And that is how they grow. They grow by hugging each other. Every time a new leaf member comes on the stalk, it hugs the other member, and it just keeps on hugging other members before they become the solid white head of cabbage. So fear is cold, hunger is hot. Allah protects summer and winter. Now the human being, because of its social nature, it senses threats to other persons, that he is socially tied to, just as though those threats are directed at him. That's because of the social conscience, the social fabric, the social continuity of the life, the continuous life. Because of that continuous life, there is a costuous sense that is whole and continuous, that includes all of those members in the concern. And when threat comes to them, we sometimes respond differently after the threat comes directly to us. And this mortal fear, is what is we mean mostly by cough or fear. So hunger arises to protect the morals or the mortal. Now, when we get hungry, what is it? It's the body itself, isn't it? It's the material body itself reacting to the need to keep itself, to keep its life. So the body pains here. It wants some food. It needs to keep its life. It wants to hold its life. Hunger and fear, and both mortal base. So they are based in the mortal being, and they are urged that arises for the protection of the mortal being. Hunger to sustain us materially or biologically, and fear to protect the biological body. So fear cools, slows down like winter. Then look at winter and summer. You know, fear is a cooler. When fear really gets you, it slows you down. It stops you. Fear can stop you almost completely. It can make your heart slow down. Everything slow down. And fear has been associated or compared with coolness, and hunger is heat. So when you get hungry, you get irritable. You are inclined to get hot-headed, go into rage. And when you get hungry, but fear is like the winter, it cools you. It cools you down. It slows you down. It makes you afraid to act. So these things are in twos. Now the Quraysh are given protection against these things, against winter and summer. And lastly, it says, he feeds you against hunger, and he keeps you safe from fear. So we need security, faith. We need to feel secure from the fear, from fear placed upon our being, etc., or any threat to our well-being. And we need food to feed us, to keep us from being given to fear. So we want these things to eat. Winter, spiritually. Summer, socially. Social. So winter now is referring to the spiritual side of man's life. Summer is referring to the social side of man's life, fear. The spiritual side, summer. The social side, fayabudu rabbil hadal bait. Fayabudu rabbil hadal al bait. So therefore worship the Lord of this house. So if we are correct in saying that the quality here in the Quraysh, the chapter is addressing the social consciousness and the social sentiment, the social bond. Then it says, God says, then worship the Lord of this house. Then the house must also be a symbol of the social consciousness and social bond. And we find that as a universal symbol, it tells all men together, it ties all men together in one social family. The Quran, Surah 108, Ayat 1-2. We give you a fountains. El Hadith, page 2, 584 and 9. Meet me at the fountain. So the prophet, what was his second creation? The creation of a new intellect. Allah created upon the original intellect another intellect. So he created him over again. He became a new intellect. And he said things that made the people wonder, is this the same Muhammad? He was a new Muhammad, the same man, you know, that the same man that we knew him, that's Muhammad, that's the same man. We know his character, that's him. So where is he getting his mind from? Where is his ideas coming? So Allah created him over, complemented the excellence that was already there. Now, the second one, we don't have revelation. The first one we do have. So we have that potential to be that. So dear Muslims, if we follow, if we come into the nature, try to be in our natural nature and excellence and obedience, as excellent as we can, and we follow the Quran that Muhammad revealed, Muhammad will guide us to the second level of creation. Yes, Muhammad will guide us to the second creation. What did he tell his followers? Meet me at the place. Meet me at the watering place. And when the philosophers, the ulama, men of them understood not just we are dead, but on this earth that we will grow and prosper as Muslim thinkers and as the Muslims that are obeying God in our spiritual until we become such fine and excellent creatures that God wants withhold anything from us that we can earn. So man progresses yet to be done. The Quran, Surah 108, give you abundance. So if we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishments far beyond our imagination, most likely we are gone a long ways. But don't think that that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. He can go much further. In fact, Allah says there is no end to the progress that comes to his servant that obeys him. No end. Say he has created things that you know and don't know. And you cannot exhaust the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. The Quran, Surah 108, give you abundance. So you look at the world's life, you see life. You look at the word life, you see life. But if you look at the word death, you see eat in it. And Allah says in the Quran, surely we have given you abundance of food. And Allah says also, the going after abundance, amounting, piling up wealth, will stay on you until you come to the grave. Is something that becomes hypnotic, automatic, almost in your life. And it says on you, and it stays on you, and causes you to lose moral conscience. And you just keep going after it compulsively without any ability to resist going after the world of material plenty. And where is it carrying you? To the grave. The hell, destruction of your human nature, your good life, your good soul, as well as carrying you. But you see what I did? I gave you a reference of abundance in a good sense. God wants us to have abundance. And at the same time, God wants you going after it will bring you to the grave, the death of your humanity. So the Quran, Surah 108, Ayat 1, Kafira Fountain, John 10:10, life, have it and more abundantly. Those faithful students and scholars of the Quran, they accept what God has revealed and they believe that the book is enough for us until the day of judgment. And no matter how long we human beings live on this earth, it will be supplying them with guidance, with the light and the guidance and the way to have life. The Quran is the word of God, and the Quran feeds life in all on all levels, feeds life on all levels. So the most, the Quran, Surah 109, Ayat 6, freedom of religion. So we should stand for the freedom of religion. If anyone's religion is threatened by someone who wants to deny them the right to have religion, it is the Muslim leaders who should come to the aid or to the side of that person and say, no, God has ordered freedom of religion. God says, say to the people who seriously differ with you, say to them, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. Stone, devil, Iblis, the Quran, Surah 109, Ayat 1, Collection, Change, Hadith, page 243 and 852. Speak with Allah. There is not even a veil between you. The Quran says, O you rejecters of faith, or the disbeliever, I do not worship what you worship. And the word worship, you know, comes from the word servant, and before El-Islam, it meant slave. But now in the text of the Quran, it does not mean slave, it means servant. But in the language of the society, it still means slave. Ab is still slave, servant. And slave means both. God wants us to know that we are not to give our life to any master except him. You give service, but you don't give your life to any master except God. Nothing but God should determine the limit of your thinking, the limit of your movement, the limit of your work. No, no one but God. Man would say, I don't call you son because you are mine. I call you son because you shine. So this word is powerful for helping to bring about social justice, equality for people. So that is this Arabic term, ab. God says that he's the best. He didn't say it directly, but we know that the learned ones in the tradition of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, they said that there is no name or title for man more dignified or more noble or higher in its meaning or in its value than the term Ab of God. So God created man without anybody's help. Servant of Allah, God refers to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as his Ab. And he says to all of us that we all are his Ab, where he says, Ya Ibadullah, Ya Ibadullah, translated, O my servant. That expression addresses both female and male. It's speaking to all human beings. So if we are his servants, and the root meaning of the history of the word takes us back to its meaning slave, then God is saying that no one can have you as a slave. He claims us, and no one else can have a better claim on us as a slave. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, we should know that nothing separates the servant from his master, not even the veil, not even a partition. Then like a veil, there is nothing separating man from God. The servant can call directly on his God. He needs no mediator, no intercessor, no priest, no monk, no imam, no rabbi. He doesn't need anybody. He called directly to his God. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If God created me without you, how come I have to call him through you? I really like the word Prophet Abraham gave. He told a big ruler, the one who created me shall guide me. And that's a good way to get another view. Look at Abraham to see him a little clearer. So where is the guidance in creation? The guidance for any form of life is in its created body. Science is guidance for treating all forms of life from the study of that form of life. So the guidance is in its creation, in its form. So this is where the guidance is. So that's why just anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It is scientific. The guidance is in the created thing. So that is what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything? But no, you are ignorant. You are following guesswork. You are nothing but an advanced, wealthy witch doctor. Here I'm coming with the truth, and you have false magic. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Kalika for Sawa, Kadira for Hada. Once again, Kalika for Sawa, Kadira for Hada. In four steps he created, then he balanced everything. So that is law. If things are balanced, it means these things are governed by laws, Kadira. Then he empowered the intellect. That is talking about the intellect, but the same thing happened with creation itself. God has created matter so it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So if it is not in agreement, then there is a strain in the matter to conform the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment. Or it might by some other activity come to its adjustment, but it's going to come to its adjustment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it all for peace. So it has to have its peace. So for the intellect straining, for the guidance, the intellect strains and strains with the issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. The intellect strains and strains. That is what the term Qadira refers to. And after a while, the light comes on. It happens. And the intellect knows this is the answer. So this is how it's supposed to be settled, or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance. So there is the guidance. And the intellect will keep working with it after the light has been turned on in a mysterious way. Intuition, intuition, cognition, etc. So the light is on now, and the intellect begins to work on what it saw. So Qadira refers to strain of mind that leads to guidance. So lightning, symbolic of people following intuitive but not revelation. So those who want to follow revelation and they follow nothing but the intuitive light, they are those who wait for the thunder and the lightning. And when the lightning flashes, they walk a little bit and it goes off and they are at a standstill. So the same God that gave you the intuitive power also gives you revelation. So don't be satisfied with just that. Still seek God, and in time he will give you revelation, reveal knowledge that came to the prophets, as we know. But I say to the rejecters of faith, I do not worship what you worship, and you are not worshiping what I worship, and I am not worshiping what you worship. oh, I'm not worshiping what you are set upon worshiping. It is a little stronger here. And you are not worshiping what I worship. So for you, your way, your deen. And for me, my deen. And you notice my deen has not the possessive. Because this is not an individual religion. It is a universal religion of mankind. So it's not nice for us to say it in this particular discussion with rejectors, my religion, with some kind of special pride or some kind of special sense of possession. No, it is a religion of mankind. So play down your possession of it. Don't put the long vowel double E on it. Just put the little vowel kasra E. Don't say my holding it long, but say my real quickly and keep going. Like some people say my God. That is too long. He is not just your God. He is our God. Ufda, ukud, ufda means or not. Your firm conviction, resolution. So you accept what he says and you find yourself breaking the law. You wake up one morning and you say, good God, boy, I have broken all the laws. I didn't know I had stepped or slept into this kind of thinking. The word ukud here is from the Arabic root word ukada, which means a knot. And this is firm conviction, meaning your resolution or firm conviction. As I seek refuge from the harm of the evil of the envier when he evils, when he envies. So these are prayers. They are chapters, but they are also prayers. I would advise you to pray these prayers. This world is too much for us. We can't manage it, but God will help us. And his help that he gives is to help all these, is universal. Every society has come under the influence or has been tempted by the Satan. And every society has had its magic and its witchcraft. Another chapter says, I seek refuge with the Lord of humanity, mankind of all people. So you see every one of these verses, we are calling on God himself. They are directed to God, and the Quran says to be not of the kafir, the rejecter of faith, be not of the shirk, the polytheist, declaring of the oneness of God. Here it is a must to have protection from the Lord of the dawn. So we know this is daybreak, light it says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the light. So this is the Lord of the light. It is not just light created, but the Lord of the light, the creator, the Lord of the light, or the one who started light, the first, so the one who caused light to be. He is the one to progress that light, to take that light from beginning to end, stage by stage. It is a progression for the light. So now if something interrupts that order and brings about darkness or confusion in the progression of that light, I should turn to the one who started the light in the first place, because he is also the Lord of the light. Talking about the servant of God, they want peace and want to be close to one another. The victory of the Lamb. It had victory. So this is Christianity. It is the opening of the secret scripture, the disclosure, opening up of the secret in scripture. And the Christian report says he took the book from his hand. The Quran doesn't like that way. It is expressed, so it puts it differently. It just alludes to it rather than to say that with Allah, but with Al-Fatiha, how many seals were there to be opened? And the Quran, Al-Fatiha, has seven verses. but there are seven verses. Methina. Methina, which means seven verses. Repeated, but they are mated. So really, they are 14 complete expressions, but in seven verses. They say the seven of the off repeated. So it is saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim twice as verses, one. It is saying two things, that God is al-Rahman and al-Rahim. It is very important in religion, in religious understanding, these two expressions of God, taken from the history of theology of God by these major religious, Christianity, Judaism, they mean little or nothing. It is nothing to say God is kind and loving. Everybody know that. Ignorant people know that. But it is something to identify something that has been hidden and misused in Scripture. And addresses with these two attributes. So this is exactly what is happening. The Quran is revelation showing something that was not seen. The Quran is revelation, not just talk. Revelation means showing something that was not seen. If it was already seen, then why is it revelation? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So that is another complete verse. So the thanks is to God. That is one statement. Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the Worlds. That is another statement. So one day we will take our Fatiha and we will see the respect how two expressions come with each verse for the total of 17. That unlocks not just seven. So these are seven seals and seven verses. But each verse has double locks. Two keys. In the Quran it says, with God are all the keys to the heavens and the earth. The Quran is a book to be read. That means read. But when you read it in the Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about revelation, about Quran, is you know that you are not only to read the book, it is a book to be studied. It is a book to be recited. It is a book to be understood. All these terms are in the Quran that tells us this is about the Quran. So the greatest fear that the religious leaders have is that the fear that what they kept secret will be told openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't. He did that when he gave the messenger of the Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. He exposed all of their secrets. I can't expose their secrets. They are already exposed. So God has already exposed them. I just read what God has done. But if you cannot make the right connection, you will not even know that God is exposing the secrets because you do not make the right connections. So the leaders have taught the masses of the people, the majority of the people in religion, all those who are not talking into them as secret students, their private little secret students, they have taught them all in a way so you will never make the connection. You will think it is all just talk. You know that it has reference to something. So you cannot make the connection with the reference, so you cannot learn the Quran. So you cannot see the superiority of the Quran. So if you do not know what it is talking about in history, religion, many Christianity and Judaism, then do you not know the superiority of the Quran? Lahab. Quran Surah 111, Surah Lahab. So this necklace is a halter of firewood about her neck. It is from the palm tree, but it is not fiber. We understand fiber, you might say. He is questioning the book. Yes, I am. Fiber suggests to me something fine. A fiber of cloth or a fruit is a little fiber thing. But this is not fine things. It is a halter about her neck. So if you can imagine a soft brooch made into a necklace, that is what the picture, and that is what palm trees have small branches that can be made into a rope. So she's carrying the firewood, so the curse is on her. That's why that was promised, is that she would have this firewood, but it would be like a rope around her neck, like a necklace on her neck, meaning she's going to be destroyed by her own devices. So don't question the teacher to prove your teacher wrong. Question the teacher to understand. I love my teachers, all of them, because they were teaching me, and I thought that they deserved my love. If they didn't want to teach me, that would be something different. So they had flame passion. The Quran, Surah 111, Ayat 1, Paris, father of the flame. So flame in poetry means passion. Abu Lahab was the uncle of the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, literally translating me father of the flame. Flame in poetry means passion, and usually passion of anger or of love. So literature has established the meaning of fire and flame. So when you speak of a person being full of fire, it means full of anger or full of passion. So when you speak of a person having ice in their blood, what do you mean? Very cold-hearted. So it says, and his woman, Imra, is not wife. It is woman. She didn't get the respect of wife because she was a very bad woman and he was a very bad man. So they were not really husband and wife. They were not respected as husband and wife. They were just doing their evil together. So it was his woman doing evil with him. What is the meaning of hatab? Firewood? It is like ropes. If you see basket weaving, it used to be ropes made of wood fiber, glass, ropes, I think they called them. It says, fi jadiha, in her neck. But necklace is not jadi. Unud is neck. So this is only neck when you are talking about a woman putting a necklace on. So it is talking about the area where the necklace hangs. And this area where she would have necklace was a halter of palm fiber, a rope like a necklace. That is the pure picture you get. So like a rope, and for black people, maybe a noose. They hung so many of our people for 100 years until I think it went into my genes. I don't like ties. Nothing choking my neck. I don't like it. I used to go to the temple. And as soon as I got away from the brothers, the Muslims, I would take that tie off. I just had to take it off. It is uncomfortable to me. I feel like something or somebody is choking me a little bit. So hublin means what? It is a rope. But some translation says halter. And a halter is something you put around your neck, like a necklace. So what is a halter? It is a necklace. I used to sell things, cosmetics and costume jewelry. Halter is something that is fixed. It is not something that has been, that is not a halter. If I remember correctly, a halter is not like the regular necklace that has been. The halter has its shape and stays in that shape. It is kind of a stiff, like a horseshoe. It is a necklace. It is different from a regular necklace. Allah forces invisible. So the Quran, Surah 112, Ayat 1-4, Allah is eternal. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayat 3, Allah is seen and unseen. Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 62, the believers, save have no fear nor grief. Unseen forces control dominant life, change physical form. God has always been present in this world, in his creation, in his signs, and in the activity that we experience as graces of Almighty God. So we know in El-Islam that God is not creation or visible matter or something that is on time, that comes into existence and undergoes change of decay and has to be reformed, but God is the creator or granter of who was never born, never made, but his existence externally. And God is seen and unseen. That is, he is evident or appearance, obvious and also hidden from our perception. But that does not make us feel that God is less real. Objection? Objection, that is not detectable by the physical and really the most powerful thing. So this sun is a ball of fire, is a distant from us, but its invisible energy reaches us and grows the food that we eat and give us the physical strength that we have. And then in our own makeup, there are forces of joy, sadness, and intelligence working in our life. And these forces are the real forces that control or dominate our being. So we know that the unseen forces are stronger in our lives as influences. So the man who is young looking, healthy, youthful, he can get problems into his life, family, job problems. And these problems that are invisible can actually change his physical form. So he can begin to look old, weak, gray hair, his hair. And what is this? What is this worry? It is nothing that we can see with the eye. We can't even take a microscope and find it. It is something that has no material body, but look what this force does to our material body. So we have to be as human beings, believing in forces other than physical matter. Human beings has this nature. No one had to come and convince human beings that there are forces that you should respect that are non-material. The most primitive, the youngest of civilizations, of societies, have come to that belief without science, without preachers coming to preach it to them. It is just a natural thing for human beings to come to believe in powers and forces that are above the physical creation. So this is the nature in us that leads us to the correct belief in God, or how to correct worship of God. So we begin as babies in everything, in worldly knowledge, and we grow into scientific knowledge. Society begins as babies in spiritual knowledge, and we grow into spiritual knowledge. Science tells us that Almighty God has helped science get where it is today. I remember reading a book written on Einstein where he was giving credit to Almighty God. Now, I also remember reading a book on the life of the one who invented penicillin. And he was telling how he felt God's presence in his experiment and how God made possible his great success. So we know as Muslims that many great scientists came up in Islam, and they were not only men who discovered God's working in their experiment, but they were men who were motivated to become scientists by Islam. So we see evidence of God's working in science and evidence of God's working in the ordinary human life. And is evident, is convincing proof to us that Almighty God exists. So we don't have to see him as we see each other. In fact, if we come to the right understanding of the way we see each other in our heart, it's not we see each other with our eyes. The way we see each other with our heart is the real scene. So the way we see each other with our eyes is not the real scene. So Almighty God wants us to be aware of little things that are happening all around in the sky, the earth, and in the activity that goes on between sky and earth. If we would just think all of these things, we will get renewed faith. So we would become faithful people. We would know that God exists, and we would know that he has the power to do whatever he will. Because the Quran says everything in the heavens and the earth bear witness to the extent of Almighty God Most High. So if we had the interest and the time to really look and examine what's going on about us in the sky, on earth, and everywhere, we would see plain signs of God and his presence, his great wonders, gifts, his great generosity to man. So man having only God, creation wouldn't go far. Pulsation carries thoughts to your mind. Almighty God has made the whole heavens, earth, yourself, and everything that exists to give off a kind of message, a kind of pulsation. It carries thoughts to your mind. If we had nothing to listen to but God, creation, we would go wrong. We wouldn't go wrong. But when man comes into the picture and begins to stray from God's creation and come with his own ideas of what the environment should be like, then his environment begins to influence us, and we get the same pulsations from his environment. So what we have as trouble in our lives comes from bad pulsation and made by man, not by Almighty God. So weak man fears poverty, not God. So when we come out of the house into the streets, we see man's creation. We look at the billboard and we see man's creation. We look at the billboard and we see what man is suggesting to our mind. And this man is not man who fears God. This is the man who fears poverty. He wants the billboard to bring us to his store, or to the store where his products are sold. So we wake up in the morning and we turn on television and we get the pulsations from the television. These are not the pulsations for Almighty God's creation. These are pulsations from the man, from this man who wants you to buy the products that he has for sale at some store. So what we have is a world and has become so filled now with pulsations from materialistic man, weak man, that we have to battle for our lives to survive harder than the primitive man had to battle in the wild jungle. Our world is more filled with enemy forces designed to hurt our good nature, future. Vendors, forces, the jungle of violence, or forces of the world, wild creatures against man. So we could go right now to the jungle and in a little time, we could establish a peaceful, healthy, lovely society for ourselves. Look how hard it is to establish that society in the modern world. It is because the modern world is more corrupt, more fraught with evil and danger to human life than the jungles ever were. So their minds, the people of this world, are people who lack experimentation in their religion. And they hope somebody will come up with a better religion, Catholicism, Protestantism, whatever they hope. Maybe you will come up with something better. And what are they looking for? Something that gives them more freedom to do their work. But this kind of mind is not acceptable in Islam. We cannot experiment with our religion to come up with something that pleases us better. We have to accept what God has given us and then make our lives conform to that. God will not allow us to fit our religion to our own desires. So we must fit our desires to our religion, and that is a difference between Muslim mind and the non-Muslim mind. That all praises are due to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah closer to you than the jugular vein. Never doubt that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever present. He is as close to you as your jugular vein. The Quran says Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him, and to every believer the internal carotid artery and jugular vein are inside your body, and it carries blood from the head. And if someone cuts the internal carotid artery, there is no more food going to the brain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to you as a sauce that feeds your brain. In fact, he is the sauce that feeds your brain. And if you just turn off the foolishness of this world and apply your senses and listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to the Quran and follow Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him, you will gain your life again and you will get your good senses. Allah seen with knowledge, not spiritual emotion. Man's strongest part is intelligence that must lead spirit. So spirit without intelligence is nothing but forces of destruction. Where is the strongest part of the man? Is it his spirit? No, the spirit is the strongest part of man for destruction. But there is something stronger in man for salvation, someone might say. I believe the spirit is the strongest for salvation. Spirit without intelligence is nothing but false love for destruction. Intelligence must lead spirit. Do you think God is God because he is some emotional existence? No. He is God because he is just. He is the highest in knowledge. Embodied all knowledge. He has all the knowledge, the book says, and he is the light, knowledge, truth. So if God was only spirit, emotionalism or emotion, he wouldn't be the light. He would be the darkness. So what light can we find in spirit unless that spirit is lit with knowledge? Allah As-Samad, the Quran, Surah 112, say to Allah is one. That is why it is said in the Quran, God says, Kul, say, he is God, is one. The God is eternal. He always has existed. That's what it means, As-Samad, resisting anything that will affect him. Nothing can affect them. Nothing can penetrate him. He as Samad, the eternal that resists anything that wants to affect him, and that includes life and death, touch him not. Not this life you have, the mortal life, touches him not. The death touches him not. But he is the living and the eternal, the source of life for everything. He never gives to anything to something like a father or a girl or a boy. It has direct reference to a boy, though. Never did he give birth to son. And never was he a son born to someone. And never has there existed anything like him. So the Quran, Surah 130, Ayat 1 to 3, Falak, is a separation of darkness from light. So the emphasis is a separation. And when man begins to see the destruction between intelligent guidance and the selfish use of a thing, then that's the drawing of his mind. Nefati. It breathes, but it has an allusion to the soul of the individual person. So this is coming from individual person, and he breathes into something called the knot. In religious symbolism, rope or string refers to spiritual knowledge used for knot. So it's the confusion in spiritual knowledge and the interpretation of revealed knowledge. Knot is the translated, not into firm resolution, your conviction. So this idea is that faith is good for you. Then some suggest come from another person to you, to your resolve. Made up mind to shake the unity of that made up mind. It breaks the resolve. So there is no interpretation coming from any human soul. It comes from the knowledge. You have nothing concrete to say until knowledge touches you. Prophet Muhammad didn't say he was inspired before he said, Bismillah, read in the name of your Lord who created. Wisdom came from his mouth. We see the evidence of his inspiration. So Rab suggests the work is to bring the base elementary thing to its complete potential, maturity, bringing that which is in its raw, weak, undeveloped, from the complete development. He is Rab of the daybreak. Dawn is referred to proper education, knowledge of right, thinking, attitude. He is the one who takes it to its early beginning. He is the protector of the early development of man's intellect and his soul. So refuge from evil, it is drawing of the intelligent and able man to protect himself against the limit, harm, and created things. Not that harm is acting itself out, but its limit is a possible harm there. The wrong approach to it, the misuse of it, will bring bad consequences or harm. So Allah has not created any harm. He has created it for benefit, but the absence of knowledge causes us to use it wrongly or approach it wrongly. The Quran, Surah 130, Ayat 1 to 4. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 117. Allah wrong not, but it is from self. Bukhari, page 9, 525b. Allah good only accept good. 40 hadith, pardon me, 40 hadith, page 84, and 25, sex charity. So the whole book, the Quran, is a prayer. But the phrase, I seek refuge, this is asking for help. And one can say these prayers, I'm pointing to the universality of al-Islam, of the Quran, the word of God, and the Sunnah and the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him. Share means harm. The phrase says, seek refuge from the harm. They say evil. The Arabic term is share, means harm. That which benefits is the Arabic term nafs, share refers to that which takes away from the value and quality of something. Whatever hurts something, it is shared. It is more than evil. It is harm. Evil suggests an intent or somebody's part, right? But there is no intent in matter to hurt us. God created matter to serve us well. He didn't create anything to hurt us. He created this whole world and even fire. But he didn't create fire to hurt us. He created the fire to comfort and aid us, not to hurt us. But many people get the share of the fire. It is not because God intended it that way. He did not intend any share. That is why God says, it is not God who harms you. It is you who harm your own soul. Something is done in complete ignorance. We just don't know the proper use of approaching it to the thing, etc. So we get the harm of it instead of the intent that God intends for us. That is the benefit and not the harm. God intends nothing but good. Allah good only accepts good. Sex charity, respond, means your senses are working. The act means your senses are not necessarily working. In the Quran it says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the dawn from the daybreak, from the harm of what is created, or we can say, from the harm of what he created. So there is a benefit and harm in everything. They say even this water that we think is harmless. I'm not talking about when the pollution is in it, the pure water. You can get the sickness, and even the water will have to be taken off of your food list. We will have to give it to you some other way, right? The doctor will take you off of it, and you can't take the water directly. You will have to take the water some other kind of way, in food or something, or even though the veins, some situation, you can't drink it by mouth. So everything has a benefit and it also has a harm. And when the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, told the followers of advance for the sexual act, he said, there is a reward. I guess he said it to awaken their mind to the problem that they had and the problem of some people to react to things rather than respond to things. Respond means your senses are working. React doesn't necessarily mean your good senses are working. So there are people that just react to things. This results over the years in people having problems with sex, illegitimate birth, the loss of wives. So man in his culture makes sex a dirty thing, a sin thinking, that dirty sex, that is sin. Yet he keeps sinning, so he say that it doesn't stop. So the prophet's followers asked, how is this good in sex? He said, if you did it unlawful without there being a punishment, there is share. And the care is everything, and God has Qadira. He has set the balance for this, the good and the evil. He has put it in the balance. And if you respect the balance, you get the good. If you disrespect the balance, you get the harm or the measures of it. So it is a difficult world to translate. So it means good in creating it is. He has already set the rule for governing these things. So the rule was set by God before we were even created in the matter itself. It has set the rule and is determining how the creation would yield benefit and goodness and how it will cause to bring harm, loss. It is all set by God and has already been determined by him in the making of the created creation itself. Gesiefen means not only intense darkness, it is also intense corruption. Necessity, evil suggests, into your firm resolution from the harm of the evil that translates it intense darkness. But this word gesiefen is only intense darkness. It is also intense corruption. It is darkness that suggests hints as filth, corruption, offensive things to the good taste of human beings and civilized society when it comes. So we know with darkness also comes corruption. With ignorance comes also corruption of morals and culture and the life. And from the harm of the necessity, and they translate it to literally from the evil of the whisperer who whispers or blows into the night. So this sounds like witchcraft, which it is. It has reference to witchcraft. But let's get the better understanding. As one commentary gave, and I think one translation gives to form from the harm or the evil of one who casts evil suggestions into your firm resolution to break up the tie of your conviction or your resolution. So you have resolved to obey God, to stay away from these harms, the forbidden things. And here comes the sneaky tester of suggestion. He casts suggestions without you knowing what has happened, what he has cast. Before you know it, he's got you in trouble. His language was so smooth, so stubborn, that you thought he was a good advisor. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 4, whisper into the hearts. Whisper into the hearts, not the mind at first. Then we begin to give our minds to weak thoughts, that we have let our hearts become fastened to affection and sentiment can tap us quickly. Then the appeal of logic or our feelings just go blindly. The emotionals are blind. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 1-5, rab, birth, evolve. So the first line says, I seek refuge in the one who gives the birth and then develops it until it reaches completion, then provides for it everything that it needs for its existence. Who does that for us on a human or lower level? It is our parents. After being born out of the parents, we are nourished and raised by them. They care for us and help us go stage by stage until we become adults in our hearts, in our minds, and in our bodies. After we become strong adults and have reached our full growth as men, our parents leave their wealth with us if they have accumulated it. They carry on for them after they are gone. So man is father for community. Man has had the freedom to move out from the home and build up straight. They become the leader of the world. The woman had to stay home and carry the baby 9 months and raise children. So the man has become the ruler in the world, seen. He has become the ruler in the world. So he is the one that acts as the father for the community or for the nation. We leave the father's house and come outside as young men. We take on a wife, get a home for ourselves, and become the father. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayah 2, refuge from king. But we still come under another father. He's not called father. I will call, it will call king in the day when this book was revealed. Today, they call him president and other rulers over the country or the nation. We come out of from under the father of the house as a young man and out of in the city life or country life. There we fall under a bigger father who calls king, president, and whatnot. So then many of us soon learn that the king is not a father as worthy for us to worship. Father couldn't hold me. So I came out and fell under the law of the king. Pretty soon I learned that the king makes mistakes. The king is not worthy of me worshiping him. Then the man turns and worships something else. He grows to worship a god. He comes against the king with the divine authority that he gets from God and comes against Father with the authority of the king. When man grows like that, he is just growing up as God has ordained or willed it to it that he grows. So he never really begins growing up until he comes contact with God. Many men worship their parents. Others worship their political leaders or their kings or presidents, worship their deities or their gods. But it is not always true that their God is the real God. Man now has in his nature growing desire that becomes so powerful and so mature that it can't accept that Father in the house is to be that image that he worships. Then he grows to a higher level and he can't accept that the king be the image of worship for him. Then he grows to a higher level and he can't accept that the president or king be the image of worship for him. Then he grows to another level and he refuses to accept God that he once bowed down to and worshiped. If we worship our parents and our rise from babies to the light that God wants us at one time or another, we are going to live to outgrow the parent and to see that the parent is not that thing that we should worship. At one time or another, we are going to outgrow the president or the king, and we are going to that, and they are not what we should worship. At one time and another, we are going to outgrow our own handmade God. And we are going to realize that these gods are too small for us to worship. Family structure to government. In this chapter so far, we see the rise of what they all primitive society, social begins by selecting things to be the chief over the family or over the tribe. And they would follow, obey, and worship Father. Is the tribe grown and multiplied? It becomes too much for one family man to do. So he has to select their family men to serve in his cabinet or his government. He becomes a leader of over families and over tribes and become a king or a president. Then they grow and grow with accumulating the problem, accumulating the accumulation of wealth and human problems become so great that they can't worship in the king anymore. The people have to turn to the other God. They make for themselves a God to turn to of their own minds and of their own desires. To have refuge from the king, the mind of the people continue to grow because of God is coming. It grows so big that they can't worship the God that they worshiped yesterday, today. They throw down the God that they worship, then they begin to think that they are God. worship nature. Now the man has gotten set up with the God that he has made, and he has something whispering in his heart. He's going to repeat the same old thing again. The first man, in his ignorance, let nature whisper in his heart and made him worship nature. Man coming to rule over nature raises to become king and to break from king and worship deities or God. Something rises in his heart when he goes and set up, when he gets set up with the God that he worshiped, and he sees that he failed him. Something whispers in his heart, there are no gods. I am God. Gen means gentle, who follow Gentiles, who follow emotions. So Gen means Gentile people, savage people, who follow their emotions. Don't think that this definition doesn't fit. People today in modern times is referred then to savage, wild, like people who give themselves to emotional outbursts and don't fall under his rule of knowledge. We have many people, large parts of them won't give themselves to knowledge, to submit to any ordinary life. They follow their feelings, their impulses, their emotions. They are just like trash waiting for a wind to come. And the wind of foolish joy comes, sweep them and trash up and carries it in the air. While the trash carries it in the air, it fills that up, but soon the wind stops blowing and the trash is back down under the feet of the people again. Kenas, another word for Satan. The jinn are those that don't profess to believe in God. They give themselves to their wild passions or their wild habits in nature. Nefs is the name given in the Quran to the people who profess a belief in God. In this chapter, you have something called Kenaz. So this is another word for Satan or the devil. Devil is in hearts, thinking. So what is the Holy Quran telling us in this chapter? It's telling us that the devil is in the heart of the people. The devil is in your thinking, in your wicked desires. When this thing grows in you, it makes you become a devil. We have devils amongst Gentiles. We have devils amongst the religious people. We have to seek God's protection from everybody. We seek his protection from the parent who wants to be our God and who wants to stand as a block keeping us from worshiping God. So we seek his protection from the king, the political rulers, or the president who stands in the way and wants to keep the people from giving themselves to God, direction. So we seek his protection from that. Who are the two categories? Some don't profess to believe in God. They say, I'll follow what I want to follow. We seek protection from them because the devil has grown up in their heart and in their mind and has made them become a devil. So devil grows in your heart thinking for weakness and in your mind thinking for weakness. So you have the germ of a devil. When that germ dominates your whole being, you have become a devil. You don't have to be out of the church to be a devil. You can be in the church and be a devil. That lets us know exactly where the devil gets his birth and how he becomes from a living being walking on the earth. So that chapter also tells us that the growth of the worshiper and how God has been growing or moving constantly in people has been moving them from inferior belief to inferior worship to higher belief and higher worship. Salakallahu Gazim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We completed this And tomorrow we will start with the Ramadan session, the topic Man and the Universe as Mates Created Each Other for Its Timeless Relevancy, lecturer Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I took a little longer today because I wanted to complete that. And may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We pray that Allah will bless you and your loved ones with peace and happiness in these troubled times. May God guide us and have mercy on us. Bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.